who make significant contributions to translational research. The next barrier identified by the NIH was a nationwide need for more clinical investigators. In response to that, the next bullet point, please. We have established a multifaceted training program. Our training programs award certificates, master's degrees, and PhDs. They're suitable for pre-doctoral students, postdoctoral students, and junior faculty members. We not only use these programs to train the next generation of translational researchers, but we also have leveraged these programs to further increase collaboration between senior investigators by funding trainees who agree to take mentors from discrete disciplines. Next slide, please. This shows the overall scheme of what we're aiming to achieve. So we try to identify investigators from the multiple components of our center, bring them together using the transformational approaches that I summarized in the last slide. And doing this, we hope to create investigator and intellectual communities that are really centered around human health themes. So just to make that a bit less abstract, what we hope to achieve, let's say in my own field of diabetes and obesity, such an intellectual and investigative community might include molecular biologists interested in insulin gene regulation, animal physiologists interested in glucose turnover and kinetics, physician scientists interested in new treatments for prevention of diabetes, or community investigators assessing interventions to prevent diabetes in the community. As of yesterday, we have about 35 faculty members who are providing service in the center, and we've provided services to over 200 discrete investigators in the whole University of Illinois system. The 35 faculty members are drawn from 6 health science colleges on the West Campus, 4 colleges on the East Campus, and Urbana-Champaign. We've awarded pilot grants to investigators, again, from across the center components, including investigators at University of Illinois in Rockford, who are collaborating with UIC investigators. So I think that the funding of the center does represent a great success for the University of Illinois. I can tell you that since the official notification of award, I have gotten daily, or I've been in daily contact with senior staff at the NIH who are requesting us to nominate people to serve on national committees. I think if you look at the progress report that I think all of you have, you get the strong idea that the NIH views these centers and a consortium of these centers, which eventually will involve 60 top-tier academic medical centers by 2011. They view this as a long-term commitment. They view this consortium as driving a large portion of the NIH translational research agenda. I think that the CTSA or the CCTS mandate is a really good fit for the University of Illinois. I think we have all the components not only to succeed but to be a spectacular success. And I think if we do this right, that the center and the consortia will actually be a vehicle for the university to show a lot of leadership on the national level for many areas of importance in the NIH translational research agenda. Thank you. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. And by the way, congratulations. Wonderful report. Paula, well done. Good afternoon. You know, for years we've talked about the capital needs of the campus, and I celebrate with all of you the passage of the capital bill. We understand there are a few I's to dot, but I do want to thank the board for its unwavering support of the capital needs of all of our campuses. But the idea that we will have the long-dreamed-of restoration of Lincoln Hall, ECE, the Petascale, and the post-harvest crop processing and research laboratory does so much for morale and progress on campus. Another source of funding that represents real opportunities for some economic relief in the new fiscal year includes the stimulus funding. We've received awards so far in the amount of $24 million from stimulus funding, with another $242 million in requests outstanding. Obviously, we hope it all comes in. But one of the things I do want to turn to now is the fact that we, with much oversight and interest of the board and the president, have become better stewards of our resources. 2 years ago, I set a goal of reducing energy consumption by 10% in 3 years. Through the first 11 months of this year, which will be the second year, we have reduced our consumption by 9.6%. Actually, we're at 10 as of this morning, I think. This reduction, when coupled with the reduced cost of natural gas, has resulted in a utility budget savings of $11.5 million on a $70 million base. With continued attention to maintenance projects with energy paybacks and effective incentive programs and implementing the recommendations of the Energy Task Force, I believe that we can reduce energy consumption an additional 10% in the coming years against our base. Those dollars are much better spent on students and faculty. On July 9th, President Obama named 100 beginning researchers, two of whom are Illinois faculty, as recipients of the President's Early Career Award for Scientists and Engineers, the highest honor bestowed by the government on young professionals in the early stage of their career. Professor Linford Goddard, assistant professor in ECE, and Professor Jonas Chasiotis, associate professor in aerospace engineering, are the awardees on our campus. Closer to home, we had the recent groundbreaking on the new Fire Services Institute, and State Representative Don Moffitt was there. And in praising the work of the Fire Services Institute, he quoted an advertisement for firefighting equipment which referred to a firefighter saying, "Walking into hell is your job. Making sure you walk out is ours." His comments reminded me of the importance of our education and our outreach missions to the state, the nation, and the world. They are what a public land-grant institution does best. That's my report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chancellor. Chancellor Ringeisen.
Thank you. I want to go back to our previous topic just a moment, because Richard reminded me of something, which I had the good fortune of chatting with Martha Cantor, the Undersecretary for Higher Education, a couple of days ago, telling her about the initiative we just described to you all, and the first words out of her mouth were, "This certainly fits nicely with the President's plan for community colleges, and make sure you look at those grant opportunities." So I meant to say that earlier and I forgot. I'm just going to mention a couple of interesting things that have happened since our last meeting. You may recall last time I told you that we were anticipating membership in COPLAC, Council of Public Liberal Arts Schools. You'll remember that's a group of 23 state universities, usually about one per state, that's only open by invitation. Glad to report to you that earlier in June, that organization unanimously voted UIS as the institution for Illinois. So we can claim to be the public liberal arts university in Illinois. Similarly, I mentioned a visit from the NCAA Division II evaluation team about moving on to our third and provisional year in NCAA Division II. We passed that with flying colors, and next year we'll be playing in Division II, although ineligible for championship. The Great Lake Valley Conference, which we're joining there, we recently found was recently named the third best academic conference in the NCAA. That's the group we're joining. Another little benefit that's happened to us, and I make an invitation to all of you, the conference has decided to hold both its men's and women's Final Four at the UIS facility this March. Given the reputation for basketball this conference has, I suspect there'll be former national champions among the group. That'll be an opportunity. As you know, our faculty are becoming ever more active in scholarship, particularly those ways in which they can relate it to community and farther borders. I wanted to mention to you that Dr. Patty Burns, responding to an inquiry from the Chamber of Commerce in Springfield, has now, working with our university system, IGPA, has developed a Springfield Enterprise Index, which helps the city and the chamber and the leaders know where we're standing and how things look ahead economically for Springfield. The other thing that's kind of fun to mention is you may have seen one of our relatively new faculty members, Dr. Mart Evans, assistant professor of biology on the History Channel. He was interviewed and prominently shown on their special, which was called Life After People. They called upon his expertise in wildlife ecology to forecast what creatures might be on this earth if and when there are no people. Why do you think that's funny, Joe? I'll finish by saying that we had an excellent year of faculty recruiting in general. I mentioned to you earlier the nationally renowned Dr. Burlingame, our Lincoln Chair, and Dr. Holden, our Wepner Professor. But we also hired some outstanding young faculty members from across the country, coming to us with doctorates from highly regarded universities such as Southern Cal, Texas Austin, Washington University, St. Louis, and more. That's enough about your campus, state capital. We welcome you all to come visit anytime. I'd be happy to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any Now we have Professor Elliot Kaufman. He is going to give us two reports, one on the University Senate Conference and another one on Chicago Senate.
Thank you, Chairman Shah. My gift to the group today is that I will combine both reports into one really brief one. Chairman Shah, trustees, President White, colleagues and friends, it's my privilege as the chair of both the University Senate's Conference and the UIC Senate to present the annual reports of both of these bodies for the past academic year. You should have received written reports delineating the activities of these bodies. The reports are detailed, and I will not burden you with an item-by-item description of their activities. The activities of both bodies for the past year might be briefly summarized by observing that the UIC Senate spent much of its time adapting to the departure of one chancellor and the arrival of another, while the Senate's conference spent much of its time resisting the arrival of the global campus and arranging for its departure.
Say what you mean, Elliot.
I couldn't resist the play on words. So while on the subject of arrivals and departures, I can inform you that there will be new leadership for both bodies in the coming academic year. The new chair of the UIC Senate Executive Committee will be Phil Patston, College of Dentistry, who's with us today. Carol Massat, Jane Addams College of Social Work, will serve as the presiding officer of the UIC Senate, and Don Chambers, College of Medicine, will serve as the vice chair of the Executive Committee. The new chair of the Senate's conference will be Catherine Eisenhart, Legal Studies at UIS, and Matt Wheeler in Animal Sciences at Urbana will serve as the vice chair. Looking back over many years of service, I can only hope, as do we all, that this great institution is a little bit better for the time and effort spent. The UIC Senate and the University Senate's Conference both look forward to another year during which the faculty can communicate productively with the President, Vice Presidents, Chancellors, Provosts, and the Trustees to best meet the needs of our university. Thank you.
So we keep moving forward. Now the reports from our student trustees, starting with Mr. Rashke, and then Mr. Giornati, and Mr. Felix. So please go one after another.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure meeting all of you these past 2 days, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you this upcoming year. I have very little to report, as most students are away from the campus for the summer. But I would like to offer the board one last update on my predecessor, Mr. Paul Schmidt. He just completed his training in Alabama, and he is currently heading to Colorado, where he will be serving for the Air Force Space Division. Mm-hmm. Again, I apologize for my brief report, but I look forward to working with each and every one of you this upcoming year for the good of the university and for the good of the students. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman Shah, for the chance to speak. I'd like to say thank you for receiving the opportunity to serve on the Board of Trustees. It's an extreme pleasure and honor for me. Since the first day taking office, I've been educated extensively on how our university operates. This experience makes me more appreciative of the time I have at UIC. While there are many students at UIC who accomplish great feats, I would like to point out a truly outstanding student. His name is Peter Ift. Peter recently received the Coleman Medal of Honor, which is given to academic and athletic achievements to one male and one female student athlete from the whole Horizon League, UIC's Athletics Conference. Peter graduated as one of the three valedictorians from our College of Engineering in May with a perfect 4.0 in bioengineering with concentration in neural engineering. This spectacular academic career was further enhanced with leadership he developed playing baseball for UIC and lettering 3 out of his 4 years. Peter will be attending Duke University School of Medicine on a full scholarship this fall. Not only has UIC produced great individuals such as Peter Ift, but it has also been promoting leadership in the youth. This summer, USC has hosted National Leadership Youth Forum for Medicine, which has been acknowledged by many of the participants as a great success. Because of the many decisions made by you, the trustees, USC has evolved into a great public university and expanded its potential to one day become the best urban university in the country. I applaud you all for the great work you have done. Thank you very much.